Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. And today we have the great Steve Sims. And I just want to read the bio the way it is because I love it. Do you know anyone that's worked with Sir Elton John or Elon Musk, sent people down to see the wreck of the Titanic on the seabed, or closed museums in Florence for a private dinner party, and then had Andrea Bocelli serenade them while they eat their pasta? Well, you do now. Quoted as the real-life Wizard of Oz by Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine, Steve, you have a best-selling author. You're a best-selling author of The Art of Bluefishing, or Bluefishing, The Art of Making Things Happen, excuse me. A sought-after coach and speaker at a variety of networks, groups, and associations, as well as the Pentagon and Harvard, not once, but twice. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, Harvard obviously wasn't as smart as they pretend that they are. They invited me back a second time.
That is so cool, man. Well, you've got the resume definitely for this talk, which is, you know, what is Bluefishing? And I think tools for excellent client service. As I was kind of going over that, I was like, maybe not client service when talking to Steve Sims. It should be client experience. But we'll work that out. Tell me, what has life been for you with the pandemic?
I'm apprehensive to answer that question. But to be blunt and hopefully humble, it's been fantastic.
Okay.
It's been the chance when I've been able to clean up my closet of clothes that I don't want to wear, clean up my garage full of motorcycle parts that I don't own the bikes for anymore, and also clean up my website, my tonality, my client list, my business acumen, my education, what works, what doesn't work, what subscriptions do I have that I've never used. It's also allowed me to realize that I spend way too many hours a year away from my beautiful wife. And so for me, COVID has been a revelation. It's increased, and this is an oxymoron, it's increased my clarity in a world of tremendous noise and distraction. And it's been fantastic to me. It will go down not only as one of my best years financially, because I do a lot of media for our clients, so there's been a big pivot and requirement there. But in my head and in my spirit and in my family, it's been the reset that I needed, that luckily in my early 50s, I've been able to receive, that will now make the rest of my years that much grander.
Wow. Wow. That is, I mean, your answer is beaming with gratitude, which I love. Like, I think that's one of the keys to us having a healthy mindset and actually being successful in anything we do, however we want to define success. So that's cool. I think a lot of takeaways are resonating with me, and I've seen this with clients across my business. Like they've you know, if there's one overarching, let's call it macro theme, is the pandemic has had its challenges, obviously, but it's also allowed people to focus in on what's important, and I think that's really key. So. Cool.
But isn't the key there, not to go off track, but isn't the key there the word challenges? Anything that's challenged us has always made us uncomfortable, and it's from that area of being uncomfortable that we receive the greatest growth. And so nobody expected, no one's ever lived through a pandemic. The last one was the Black Plague. No one's ever had this before. We certainly weren't prepared for it. So it's created this worldwide experience. You can actually speak to someone in Israel, in Korea, in Pennsylvania, and strike up the conversation on COVID, and it's done something to all of us. You know, we've all experienced this halt, time for us to retract from seeing our friends and even going into the office. So it's given us a worldwide unanimous experience and reaction, and it's challenged us. And that's where the key word comes into. At the beginning of COVID, there were so many people on their Facebook page going, hey, what shall I binge watch on Netflix? And those are all the people that I'm no longer friends with. Because I looked at COVID and I went, okay, how can this work for me and not to me? The old classic line of Sean Stevenson. And I used COVID to read books that I'd always put off, to educate, to get involved in questions, to review what it is I did and what impact I created. And I used it for me and not against me. And that's been the underlying thread between all people that have come out of COVID smiling and not the the new breed of binge watchers and handouts.
No, excellent points. That's not off track at all. I think when you're starting to think about this, isn't it like it's either a Chinese proverb or something that says like the same symbol for chaos is the same symbol for opportunity, right? So you have to kind of like think of things from a different perspective. One of my early guests was Andy Andrews, who I love as an author, and his take is just tremendous on perspective. But one takeaway was, he's like, it's that bottom of going down to the bottom of the pool type of thinking, right? You know, you're not just at the surface. You're really trying to understand things. I wonder if this is a good segue. So I wonder if when you were thinking about this whole idea of blue fishing and coming up with this and writing a book and all that, like, what were some of your big takeaways? Because when I read this at first, it's been maybe about 12 months or so, maybe a little bit more. I said to myself, Steve is a dream facilitator. That's what he is. He's not too much like me as a financial advisor, right? I'm trying to take people with their limited time and money and say, okay, here's the unlimited options. What do you want to do the most? So it's not too different. So I wonder what your take is. Maybe how did you come up with that concept? And maybe what are some of the insights that you've had as a facilitator to people's dreams?
So we're not different. Okay, we focus on what the client requires versus what the client says. Mm. Now, we need to underline, bold that, write that down in stone, because today what people are telling you they need isn't always what they actually want and maybe even deserve or desire. You see, it's very easy to say I need this and be an idiot because I don't know what I don't know. So as I was growing up, I came from a financially restricted, I won't use the word poor, but a financially restricted background, and I didn't like it, you know? So I wanted to hang around with affluent people and find out why you are rich and I'm not. And so I delved into the questions and I found so many answers from that that I started actioning them on myself. It's no good getting this information and then not doing anything with it. That's what makes you the picture child for being an idiot. So I started actioning what these very successful people were telling and partaking with me. And as it grew, I found that I could enter any industry with delving questions. Why are you asking this? What's the real goal? Why now? Now, you can take any of those questions and apply it to someone selling yachts, someone building up a retirement plan, someone focusing on your mortgage. It's the same questions, but here's the scary thing. We don't ask questions today. Mm. And that's where we're getting a bit bad. You see, the one thing you still can't download an app for, you see, I dare you, you could go to YouTube and probably find a video on how to do open heart surgery, okay? Just because you're watching a video doesn't mean you now know how to do it. But there's no app to be able to be downloaded that's going to make you a better communicator. Mm. You see, we're losing the ability to communicate. And when we communicate, and there's this question, why? And it's become the most combative, almost vulgar, violent word that people try to avoid. But it should be trademarked by me, because people are saying, hey, Steve, you know, I hear you coach. I want you to coach me. Oh, that's great. Why? Why now? What are you expecting out of it? What are you going to do that's different today with my help than you did yesterday? Why? You know, you ask those questions and you get the layers peeled back and you actually get to the real core, the real reason. And here's the scary thing. When you get to that core reason, it's quite often 9/10 different than the actual original ask. And when you know the reason, if I say to you, hey, I want to do this, and we should do this. Because you know what I don't, you can turn around and go, hey, I understand the goal, I understand the desire, but there's different routes to take to able to get you. You're the one that knows. So I'm a great believer in communication. The book, I had a big smirk on it when you said, how did you come up with this book? I had always been a nosy Irish lad. And I think one of the greatest skill sets that we should rehearse and should practice, you know, like muscle memory, if you don't use it, you lose it. Be curious. Spend all of your days being curious, okay? That curiosity can get you into rooms that you normally wouldn't be in. And that's what I always used. It was one of those rooms that I was literally just drinking an old fashioned and telling stories about what I got up to, that they offered me on the spot a book deal. So I didn't plan on releasing a book. I didn't plan on speaking all over the planet. It literally was, I was in a good room. And when you're in a good room, good things happen. The book came out. I honestly didn't expect it to do well, but I wanted to write a book that helped me, hopefully help some other people get out of the way of themselves, stop overthinking, start doing. You know, Jay Abraham, a good friend of mine, has always told me, I've got a greater I can than an IQ. You know, if anyone's ever received an email from me, they know I can't write for shit. But that kind of thing shouldn't get in the way of you actually producing a book. That's what ghostwriters, that's what proofreaders are for. You know, you tell people what you want to say, you give the message, and then get someone else to put it on paper. The book did really, really well, and it's challenged people to do things differently. And if a bricklayer that got kicked out of school in East London at the age of 15 can be dealing with the Vatican, and Elon Musk, and Richard Branson, you're already out of excuses.
I love that. I love it. Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways that I can take this conversation. And I love these to be just kind of like organic, because you brought up something. There's two points that you brought up that I use all the time. And just so everybody knows, we have never met before. We have never met.
No, but we are both stunningly good looking.
Yes, we have this. We have the same barber and everything. But no, so the thing you said, which was, I said, I don't think I'm the greatest salesperson. I don't even think I'm the greatest financial advisor. However, what I do incorporate is the fact that I go into each prospect meeting genuinely curious about that person. And I think it helps me to ask really great questions. And I think I want you to unpack this. I didn't prepare this before, but in your book, you talk about the three whys, asking why three times. Yeah. Because that very first why, like you said, that's the fluff layer. That's what they think you want to know, right? They're just spouting out stuff. And so maybe you kind of unpack that. You know, you probably have a story about that or something like that.
I do now that you've asked. So I have, and you can try it yourself and then I'll give you the story. But
okay.
Ask your best mate, hey, if you won $10 million today, what would you do? And the answers will be things like, oh, I'd have a pool party and invite all the Victoria's Secret models over, or I'd fly in Kiss and, you know, have them perform at my barbecue, or I'd buy a jet. And then you go, oh, that's great. But in 6 months' time, what would you do? Mm. And then you'll hear things like, well, the street that I grew up on never had any lights, so I'd like to put lights down my street. Or the school that I went to never had sports, so I want to build it a sport field. You see, there's the knee-jerk reaction, and then there's the depth. Okay, you've got to get past the superficial. And today, again, I'm coming back to today, because we're in a world of distraction and noise, you know, we can say words like Black Lives Matter, Trump, Asian hate, Me Too. There's so many things that trigger people today. And here's the sad thing. It triggers them into shutting up. And that's bad. That's bad. Nothing good ever happens when people shut up. I would rather be called an idiot and educated than remain ignorant.
Wow.
Okay? So I want to have those difficult conversations. I want to walk up to someone and go, I don't understand your point of view. I don't understand your opinion. Please, please educate me and allow me to stop being ignorant. The conversations we have to have are the ones that we're scared of having, the challenging ones that we therefore need to have. And we need to do it by asking the why. Why? Again, we're back to the why. Why does that matter? You know, why did it impact you? You know, people are saying things about things that happened many, many years. Well, so why is this important now? Educate me. Let me understand why I'm stupid to the reason. Okay. So I'm a great believer in ask why. You know, hey, that sounds great. But why? You know, and start digging it down. And here's the story I'll give to it. And it's very much more simplistic and certainly not as deep as the conversations that I've just mentioned that we need to have. I coach a realtor. She's very, very successful. She's doing absolutely brilliant. She used to sell $300,000 houses. Now she focuses on $3 million. Okay? So I got her out of the way of her own monsters. And she contacted me and she's like, gotta help me, you gotta help me. And I'm like, well, okay, sit back. What's the problem? Tell me what's going on. She said, I've got this girl and she's very successful. She's very well known in my area. She could be great for referrals. She contacted me. I was so excited that she contacted me. She told me she wanted a 3-bedroom with a pool in this street. And I'm like, okay, so what did you do next? She said, I showed her every property in that street. It's not even a big street. I knocked on doors in that street to go, hey, I've got someone that's looking to buy. Would you be open to selling? And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, this went wrong. And she looked at me and she went, I did something wrong, didn't I? And I said, yes. And she said, what did I do? I said, you commenced a transaction. They asked, you provided. Transaction. That's what Amazon does. Okay. What you failed to do was to ask why. I said, how many times have we discussed this? And she's like, oh God, yeah. She got so excited that she had this, you know, famous person in our area asking her for the home that she started to commence the transaction rather than going deeper. So I said to her, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to go back to her and go, hey, I'm sorry. We need to reset. I did you a disservice. There were a couple of steps that I overlooked. In fact, I was quite in awe of you coming to me that I gave you a disservice by not getting into it. I said, you've got to get yourself vulnerable and you've got to apologize. Let's be serious. We don't like to do. And I openly say, you know, 9 times out of 10, don't apologize. Maybe there was a miscommunication. Hey, there was a miscommunication. You know, but no, in this situation, it was your fault. So go back to her, say that, and then go, hey, I want to go back to your request. Why that street? She's like, but she told me what I said. She told you what she wanted you to hear, but not necessarily what you needed to action on.
Yeah.
Clarify it. So go back and go, hey, let's start at the beginning. Why that street? And she went, okay. I said, and shut up.
Yeah.
Just ask that question. Shut up. So she went, all right, I've got it. And I said, you're going to do it. You're going to ask and shut up. She's like, I'm going to do it. So she comes back to me about 3 weeks later and she said, I did it. I said, what happened? She said, I did the thing. I was vulnerable. I apologized. I've done a disservice. I know you said you wanted a house, but I want to ask you a question I should have asked you back then. Why that street? She said, no, shut up. And it was painful, but I shut up. And she turned around and she went, when I was born, I was just outside of town. She named the village that she was. And when my mum used to go to the mall, in fact, when my mum used to go anywhere, we would detour through this street because this street was where all the made it lived. All those movers and shakers, the real power play. This was the it street.
Yeah.
She said, I want to just get into that it street. And when I spoke to the realtor, I said to the realtor, I said, look, don't it streets move? You know, I lived in East End of London around a load of warehouses. You didn't knock around my neighborhood after 9 o'clock for fear of being dragged into one of those old warehouses and being beaten up. Now, all of those warehouses are trendy lofts and they're all 1.5 million. You can't even afford to live in my neighborhood. When she realized that she was looking to move into the it street, she was able to provide her with the new zip codes for those it streets. The first house she showed her on the new it street, she purchased.
Wow.
So it wasn't the street that she was after.
Yeah.
It was the destination. It was the arrival. It was the, I'm successful. I've made it. Here you go, Mum. I'm in your street.
Wow.
If her mum had been alive today, she'd have been going into that street where she bought her first house. So you've got to ask why three times. You've got to get to the core.
Are you ready to accelerate your progress? Are you ready to make the leap into the financial services industry? Maybe you're about 12 to 18 months away and you want a sneak peek on what it's gonna be like. I got you covered. It's called the Jumpstart Accelerator Group. These are individuals that are looking to make the leap into the financial services industry in the next 12 to 18 months. And what I'm gonna do to help accelerate your progress is I'm gonna pair you with one of my professional development program cohort graduates. These are people that are just like you, probably a few steps ahead because they've already gone through the program and they are already on their journey. They can share their wins, they can share their experience, they can share their perspective with you. And they're gonna do this inside some mini coaching sessions. As you go through that, you're going to really, really understand what it's gonna take to make the leap properly. All of this, and I'm throwing in some lifetime access to some bonus trainings that I think are really gonna help you get started. For more information, check the link below or send me an email to hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com. And now it's time to get back to the conversation. I think it's just uncomfortable for a lot of reasons you mentioned before. Dr. Sherry Turkle has a book about this, you know, I would say the erosion of conversation. You know, we have technology, we have cell phones, we have all these things, but they haven't really fostered this, what I would call a skill in sitting in that uncomfortable silence of when you challenge somebody that way and asking them those whys. And I mean, this is, of course, very important in every industry, but like how much more so in financial services, where you're talking about people's money, you're talking about their livelihood, you're talking about what they've traded blood, sweat, and tears, and sometimes in some instances for.
Yeah.
And you have to ask that why. So I think what I want to get to in asking you, because I know you've uncovered this, or maybe you haven't, what makes us so uncomfortable? What made that realtor so uncomfortable? What was the talk track she was playing in her head that said, here's a celebrity or whoever person, you know, like, am I like, I'm not good enough to do this. So yeah, I went immediately to the default of transaction instead of what you suggested.
We're being trained today. Okay. And COVID has been a massive pattern interrupt. If COVID had only lasted 1 month, we'd have gone on about our life and it would have been like a meme on an Instagram posting. But it altered us, it changed habits, and it trained us. And during COVID, some of the most powerful companies in the planet became automated and fueled by AI. Amazon, Domino's Pizza, everything became a transaction. There's actually been studies, and I quoted it on my podcast a little while ago. There was a study done, and I don't remember what Ivy League university it was. It said that the average teenager spends more time talking to AI than it does their best friend per month.
Sounds like Sherry Turkle's book. It sounds like her book.
I was like, that's bullshit. There's no way in the world, you know, because I've heard my boy talking to his mates and he talks for hours. And I'm thinking, that's got to be crap. So I did some digging and I actually got hold of the author of that article. And I went, I've got to call you out. How did you back that up? And he said, the average teenager, he said, and have you got teenagers? I said, got two of them. He said, watch this. How many times do they pick up that phone and go, hey, Siri, what's the birthday of? Oh, hey, Alexa, turn the music. Hey, Siri, you know? And you've even got Google voicemail for like Nest and thermostat, stuff like that. He said, do you see your son, you know, doing that with his phone? And I said, all the time, you know, how do I get to Malcolm's house? And then the map comes up. Now, those conversations are only seconds. But when you compile them over a month, it came out to just over an hour. I think it was an hour and 20 something minutes.
Wow.
But the average time you're online with your mate is like 45 minutes to an hour. And so in which case, he was actually speaking to Alexa and Siri longer in cumulative per month than his best friend. And we're being trained to bark orders. If you don't think we're trained to bark orders, do me a favor, phone up Amazon tomorrow and go, hey, I'm thinking of changing my toilet roll. Which one should I get? You'll get crickets. There's no phone number. There's no one you can talk. Amazon doesn't do anything for you other than serve the command that you presented. So we are now in a transactional society. I want, I get. And that has come through. That's bled through to the way that we have conversations. Hey, thank you very much for your time, Dominique. I need to retire at 45. I need it done. All of the other habits are telling us when we bark, we get. But now Dominique's going to look in front of me and go, hey, I'm hearing you, Steve. But why? Why 65? Why that amount of money? Why now are you paying attention to it? And that's going to ruffle me. That's going to make me go, God, this man's making me think. How dare he? But it's when you get to that, that you suddenly start unveiling. How many people have ever come to you and gone, hey, I need this amount of money. And you've turned around and gone, that ain't going to give you your goal.
Yeah.
You know, that ain't going to help. I started in financial services. Let's be clear. I was crap at it and I got fired. But the amount of times you would go, oh, yeah, I need a million. You know, when I've got a million, that's when I stop working and I've got a private job. If you've got a million, there are states in the country. I live in Los Angeles. You're still in basically something the size of a toilet in the bad end of West Hollywood. So you ain't retiring. You ain't booking your next private jet. And it's scary when you realize your kind of tax bill is what you hoped you would make as an income. And now it's your tax bill and you're still screwed. So you've got to be able to unveil to people, you know, what is behind their wishes and how to actually reframe it, reattest to it. So I think we're being trained to receive and bark orders. And so when someone challenges us, here's another little thing without ranting too much. People will come onto my social feeds and they will DM me and they'll be like, Steve, I'm in Los Angeles on Tuesday. Let me buy you a beer. And I will literally respond with, why? And then sign off. And I get one of two responses. The first one is, oh, I heard you were cool. I had you mistaken. You're an arrogant prick. Blah, 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 blah. And they get violent. They really go, well, that's rude. They look at why as rude. And then I get the other people going, fair question, Steve. I'm working on a project and I wondered if it'd be of interest for you to be involved. And I wanted to give you an overview on it. And I wanted to make take for a nice steak and a whiskey, you know, as payment to listen to it. Would that be okay? Now I know why. Now I can make an educated decision on whether or not I should go along and have that steak and whiskey, you know? Yeah. But it's amazing how many people look at that why word, a three-letter word, as the most vile, combative word in the planet, when it is the most powerful. Why are we having these conversations at the moment? Why are we having these discussions? Why didn't we have them 10 years ago? Why are we moaning about politics? Why are we moaning about this, that, everything? Why is a great way to actually get to the real core? And let's be blunt, today we need to know the answers.
No, you're right. I mean, you're preaching, man. One of the things career changers or aspiring financial professionals come to me for is, hey, I need to find my place in the financial services industry. And I'm like, okay. So one of the first things we do is work on their why. Because to me, I'm like, your why leads you to a who, which leads you to your how. So I'm just continuing the whole thing with the three letter words.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no, look, this stuff I'm doing. And here's the dumb thing. It's not new. I'm not inventing the freaking wheel. Just for some stupid reason, everyone decided not to use it anymore. You know, it's ridiculous. We need to be doing it. There's nothing's going to put you out, but you need to start focusing on your impact. Stop worrying about your website. Stop worrying about how pretty you look on Instagram. I hate to reveal it to you, but no one gives a shit. Focus on being a great solution to somebody else's problems. That's what's going to make you powerful and impactful.
No, I agree. So let's unpack this last little thing as we bring this in for a landing on the keys to excellent, and I kind of cross through service, but experience, because I think that's really key. Because Amazon or any of these other big companies, you call up if you can get a hold of somebody, or you're in the chat with client service, maybe somebody that's, you know, who knows, world over from you. But building a client experience for things like financial services or coaching or things where there's a lot of consultation and supposedly a lot of communication, what are some tips that you have for building that? Because I think most people watching this, even if they're existing financial professionals, what they're going to go is, oh, my compliance department won't let me do that kind of stuff and won't let me do this and won't let me do that. There's a long list of what they can't do. And then I'm like, well, what can you do? What are you able to do? What are you trying to do for your client? So what are some tips that you may have on building a client experience that people will actually just rave and rant and refer about you?
Send a book or sign up for a magazine subscription.
Okay.
Your compliance will have no problem with it whatsoever. But if your clients are saving up so that when the kids have left home, you know, the family can start traveling to Italy, sign them up for a subscription on how to speak Italian. Give them a taste of that goal. Send them a book on Italian food so they can start getting used to the Italian food. If they're into cars and they want to start working on restoring cars in their old age, or even now, subscribe them to DIY of classic cars. Show that you've taken what they are asking for, their goal, and allowing them to experience it. I had a client once, and it was probably, now that I look back, probably one of the instigators to the way this mind thought. But I had a client, and all he wanted to do was, he wanted to retire and buy a Ferrari, and then that would be it. You know, I want to retire, I'm going to put on my money, and then I'm going to buy a Ferrari, okay? And I was a crap financial advisor, but I could visualize his goal. And we spent a lot of time talking about this Ferrari, okay? And he signed up for some kind of investment plan. And everyone was like, oh, well done, Steve. You sold this plan. I didn't solve the plan. I provided a solution to his problem. And his problem was his goal. And then what I did, and everyone thought it was ridiculously stupid, there was a Ferrari dealership just outside of town. Nowadays, you can mail order anything. You know, you can mail order brides if you wanted to, but you can mail order anything. But at the time, you couldn't. This was back in the early 90s. I drove down there in my mum's car and I bought a Ferrari keyring. Okay. And I posted it to him. Mm. And I said to him, you're one step closer.
Wow.
That was it. Now, I got fired from my financial planning job because I was just terrible at it. But this guy now had the experience of what he was going to end up with. Now, when I launched a concierge firm, someone would buy a package to go to Ukraine or to Tokyo or something like that. I'd subscribe them to a magazine, a Learn the Basics of Japanese. Here's a book on the highlight. I would just send them stuff, or a little picture of a model of a geisha that they could stick in their house. And all of a sudden, they're starting to experience what they're gonna experience.
Yeah.
I gave them a glimpse. I gave them a moment.
Yeah.
And that's what you need.
Yeah. No, this is good stuff, because, you know, I don't know when it happens. Maybe it happens like adolescence, but most people, they stop dreaming. That's the biggest thing that I've noticed as being a financial advisor, is that I talk to people and I'm like, so tell me about what you want to do, like your goals, what, like the reason, like you're saying, like you want to retire. Okay, to do what? Like, you're going to get tired of golf in the first 6 months. Like, what are you trying to do? But then you find out, like, oh, my mother has dementia. I want to spend more time with her. There you go. You want to travel. Okay. You want to spend time with mom, whatever the thing is. But I think for whatever reason, we get into these constrained lives in this transactional society and we stop dreaming. And really, to be the facilitator of someone's dreams is to me, that's one of the best spots to be in as far as a servant.
Do you know the biggest fear people have today is to be laughed at?
Embarrassed.
Okay. We have programs, we have social channels dedicated to watching people walking into walls, falling over, getting drunk, falling off chairs, you know, America's Funniest Videos. There are whole platforms where we love to look at people falling over and hurting themselves. We giggle, we can't help it. So when someone reveals what they want, the first thing that comes into their mind is, let's dull this down, because I don't want to be laughed at. I actually may want to spend my entire years learning how to play the piano in a garden full of daisies, but I don't want to say that because, oh my God, Dominique could laugh at me, okay? But why is that important? I'm here for your goal. You've got to provide a safe zone. Tell me why that's important, because together, shit for sure, we're going to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Okay? With my strategy, with your input, you're playing piano until your days are over in the field of daisies. Okay? Get to know what people really want, what's really important to them, and let them know. It's not a laughable offense. This is your goal. This is your dream. And that goes back to the, hey, if you were rich, what would you do? People will give you answers that make them look powerful, that make them look good, for fear of being judged. And that's what we don't want to do today. I don't want to be judged. We see how it works on others, you know? All the haters on Instagram going, oh, your bum looks big in those jeans. I don't care. My bum looks big everywhere. I don't care. But a lot of people do. And a lot of people are worried about it. And you've got to also work it out. We are on this planet for mere seconds. You know, and when you die, yeah, there'll be a few people shedding tears, and in 50 years' time, there'll only be a handful of people that anyone will ever talk about. So live for you today with no fear of humiliation or laughing. Dare yourself to dream big. And if they're not dreaming big, it's your job to help them.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful stuff, man. I think if every aspiring financial professional can hear that and just like break free from the matrix of all these thoughts and, you know, molds that the establishment try to put you in. It's like, no, man, you go serve the type of people you want. Forget the, you know, the big wirehouses that tell you to do all this stuff, you know, like go to the people you're a call to. I love that. I think there's lots of undertones. Well, not even undertones, but you blatantly telling people that they need to be vulnerable. You know, in order to be vulnerable though, you've got to ask why. And I think sometimes this helps to do the work on yourself too, right? It's hard to, you know, not practice what you preach. I mean, you're going to feel like a hypocrite. So no, I love this, man. This has been great. So as you know, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professionals with tools to serve their client at the next level. With that being said, Mr. Steve Sams, what word or words of wisdom would you like to leave with the audience?
Stop worrying about yourself. Start focused on being a tremendous solution to their problems and aspirations. That will be what makes you irreplaceable. It will also be what gets you all the referrals.
Wow. I love that. You're right. We got to get out of our own heads. Man, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your wisdom and your time with this audience, and it's been great. Well, let's stay in touch.
Thanks, bud. Look after yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hey there. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now, until our next conversation.